episode 268, October 31st, 2016.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
I am Dracula. I bid you welcome.
This is the Rob and Joe Show.
Abracadabra!
It's the Great Pumpkin! He's rising up out of the pumpkin patch!
We're dead.
Welcome to Fright Night.
Let's get started.
Ladies and gentlemen, here's Rob Mayer and Eric Woodward. Take it away, Eric.
1, 2, 3.
Go. Welcome to the Rob and No Joe Show. Joe Robinson on a cruise as we speak with Katie, but filling the small shoes of one of the stars, maybe the star, let's be honest, of our murder mystery shows. The man who first introduced me to Chris Restivo, Eric Woodworth.
Yeah, I'm excited to be on the show, man. Fill it in for Joe Robinson. What an idiot. He went on a cruise. Who would give this up for a cruise?
I have no idea. Why would you want to be on a cruise drinking fruity umbrella drink and you could be talking to myself and Robbie Robinson? We're recording this on Halloween. Eric, you're a brave man because it's 5:20 on Halloween evening. You have two daughters, so I imagine this is a big deal in your house.
I walked in the house a moment ago and they went ape shit. And then I had to immediately go.
Eric, at what point, if we're still talking, do you start to get shit? Will the kids start knocking? I don't know. You're in a basement. You're in a private room in your house.
Yeah, I'm down in the dungeon of the Woodworth Den here where I have my my rig set up. Oh, I'm going to get shit regardless. I mean, there's no it was shit the second I walked in the door. So it's not going to get any worse. I'm just going to go up and we're going to go out and, you know, they're 5 and 2 year olds. You can't negotiate with them.
Okay. Is your wife going to be angry?
Yeah, she'll be a little angry, but she'll be cool after I'm out of the house with them for a little bit and get them sugared up.
Basically, you are willing to do this podcast that's going to pay you no money and probably have zero effect on your career. You're willing to do this knowing it's going to anger your entire family.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
All right. You're the best.
I do comedy for only pennies on the dollar, so I can't see how this is much worse. I mean, at least, you know, I'm not wasting gas money, right?
That is true. Now, Robbie, correct me if I'm wrong, but Eric did something that Joe has never done. He sent us an email of topics to discuss.
Not once has Joe ever done that.
I'm already doing a pretty good job here, Robbie.
Also, Joe's never sent us a picture with this scrotum out.
I did.
That's true.
Well, you guys wanted show prep, and I figured Rob and Joe appropriate topics would be things of Chris Restivo and my brother. So topics that have come up before on the show.
So Chris Restivo has made a point to tell me twice now that Amanda Tracy, we've spoken about her in the past, the girl who faked cancer, the wannabe open micer comedian, is now working at the strip club that Chris frequents, the Mill Stream. Has he brought this to your attention, Eric? Because he seems to be very excited that he has this knowledge.
He's brought this up to me multiple times, but I don't think she He said it over and over again, but he said he's ruined her career at Millstream by telling everybody about the cancer thing, because Chris has got that kind of pull at the Millstream. I mean, when you're spending big cheese like Chris or Steve-O, I mean, when you spend $2,000 in a night, please.
Can you imagine your career? Millstream won't accept you as a dancer. I mean, that's... I've never been to Millstream, but if Steve-O frequents there, I have to think it's at the bottom of the barrel of strip clubs.
No, you know what? It's a quality establishment. I've been there a couple of times. It's they leave bottoms on, and I think that might even be pasties too. So I don't even think it's a full nude place. It's a very classy establishment.
Sounds horrible. Well, we've spoken about this in the past, and I mentioned the story a few weeks ago in Syracuse where you, the girl on the horrible Tinder date, started talking to us. She got in a fight with her Tinder date. She left her phone on the table. You took her phone, took a picture of your balls, made it her wallpaper.
And she didn't notice.
Does your wife know about your love of ball pics?
I'll take it one step further. So I was looking through an old picture album of my wife's from college, right? And it's a bunch of pics of her and her girlfriends. And in the middle of this thing, I see two pictures of ball sex. And I'm like, does my wife have pictures of balls? And then I was looking at it and realized that one of them was mine, that I had taken her camera. And
one of them was yours.
One set of mine. And I think, and when I remembered about the camera that it came from, I knew who the other balls were as well. I knew it was my buddy, who I won't throw his name out there, but he was standing right next to me. And he was just like, hey, we're going to take some ball pictures. I was like, yes, well, there's a camera here, of course. So
Do you think she purposely held onto these, or they just happened to be in this? And this big stack of old pics.
I think it was just a lucky coincidence that it happened to be my balls. And I shed light on it. I was like, do you realize that these are my balls? And she was just like, she kind of took a look at them and like, yeah, sure enough, they are. I never knew.
How many more pictures of your buddy's balls do you have to find before you're talking to your wife? You're saying, hey, what's going on here?
Just two. I guess two would be the maximum.
You're saying if there's another picture of this guy's balls in your wife's wedding or photo album, you're saying, babe, what's going on here?
Well, he's a good family friend, so I'd be okay with it. and plus, I've seen what he's working with, and I feel like we're both comparable. So I'm not jealous. There's no ball jealous.
Eric, could your wife pick your balls out of a ball lineup?
Yeah.
It depends. If I'm holding them in the fashion that I like to do, which is like really squeezed tight to like a brain shape, then... probably, you know, but hanging maybe too. I feel like she doesn't see them often enough hanging. So
it's dark then. Yeah.
It has to be the right, like, you know how like certain ladies have like a good side that they always take pictures from. Like I have that, but with my balls.
Gotcha. What, you have a preferred ball side?
Yeah, it's like I have a Zoolander pose for my nuts.
Yeah. Yeah, they're very photogenic. I'll give you that. Now, what would be worse? You find 10 separate pictures of this other guy's balls or one picture of some other guy's dick?
You know what? I would need to know the I trust my loving wife so much that I probably wouldn't think anything of it. She would probably have a good story behind it, a believable one that I would I'd believe. So
what if the story is like, Eric, this is before we met, but it was, I really had a connection with this guy and his penis, and I just wanted to hold on to this picture.
I don't know. If it was like four or five of them, I'd probably be concerned. I'd probably be a little concerned.
What if it was really small?
Oh, I'd be like, fag. To my wife.
So you're not threatened if your wife has a picture of another man's small penis?
No, I mean, I don't think she would, if I'm being honest. She probably does. Balls are a different thing. Balls are funny, you know, but the whole package, yes. I mean, that's lumpy and that's a lot. So I don't believe that she would have it. But if she had it, obviously it would be a conversation piece for sure.
Yeah, balls are funny. Like, have you ever done this? I have a friend, Andy Campbell, spoken about him a few times. But he would do this thing, sure, I've told this story, called hanging brain, what he called it, where he would just have his balls out, just a little bit out, and he'd just go up to a girl in a bar and just start talking to her until she would figure it out. And he was a good-looking guy with great personality, so he'd get away with it, right? And he's very charming. But he can get away with that. But if your dick is out, then the police are coming.
True. They are often called when your whole dick is out. But balls, people always find balls rather charming, from what I found.
Yeah. It's, you know, oh, look at that guy's balls. Look at that guy's dick. Weirdo, right? No, yeah. No one gets arrested for flashing their balls. That's just being silly.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'm a habitual, whenever there's like a group photo of like 10 or more people, I'm quickly hustling my balls out to make sure they're in the picture almost every time. I mean, if you, I'd say 90% of group pictures I've ever taken, my balls have been in.
90%. I mean, Tommy Cimbazzo is a ball hanging out guy. So is Justin Schlegel. So you've probably seen their balls, Eric. Do you think you could pick me or Joe's balls? If you saw both of them, you think you could identify who belonged to who?
Not your guys's, but Tommy's, I feel like, between Tommy and Justin's, I've seen him enough.
I said to you, I'm going to show you a picture of my balls and a picture of Joe's balls. Yeah, $100 bet. So you got 50-50 chance. Do you think you could just pick it correctly?
Do the carpets match the drapes, or?
Well, I color my hair. Everybody knows that.
Yeah, I think I could do it. I feel like Joe's dick would look very much and match his personality for some reason. Yeah, it would just it'd be real whiny, like a real whiny penis.
Speaking of Joe's dick, he and his dick are on a cruise right now with Katie. And I went on a cruise with Joe, Tawan and I did, like 4 years ago. I remember it was almost exactly 4 years ago, because when we were on the cruise, that's when the election, the Obama-Romney election, the actual election day. That's Joe and his wife he was on the cruise with. And it was right after that cruise that they ended up separating. But I feel like that Joe with his wife is still somewhat behaved. He's still a Joe and obnoxious. But with Katie, he goes full Joe. So he's going to be saying things to people. He's not going to be worried about offending his wife, because Katie, she's used to it now. So, you know, he's always got stories about they're in the Giant or the Walmart or something. He's making some comment about somebody and there's some weird thing. That's going to happen 100 times on this cruise.
Oh, absolutely.
They're going to come back with tons of stories.
What are the chances that Joe goes to one of the shows on the cruise and has to hang out with like the piano player that plays there?
See, I would like to hang out with the piano player. I've always wanted to be a piano player. I would like to be the piano man, the guy in the piano bar playing, drinking some scotch, meeting people. I mean, I would love that life, but I can't sing or play piano, but I can drink scotch. Now, Joe's not a drinker, but he likes cruise drinks. He likes fruity vacation, Bahama, Bermuda Island drinks. So when we went on the cruise, I'm not going to exaggerate, an hour we're at the dock, we haven't even set sail yet, he's drunk an hour into this thing. He's had like 3 drinks. So I'm sure he's getting hammered. A sober Joe's obnoxious, but Hammer Joe, that's a whole other level. Have you seen him hammered, Robbie?
I have seen Joe pretty drunk. I've heard many stories. I can't remember an instance where I've seen him really hammered.
I mean, he's just goofy and silly. He already has very little filter. Oh, it's entertaining. But with the alcohol, there's probably zero filter at all. But I'm sure they're going to come back and have all kinds of stories. Now, I feel like this, like with my own life, a cruise, that's a hot girl situation. That's when your girl is going to be dressing, wearing the least. I'm sure there's some evenings where they're going to be dressing up.
Hey, Katie.
Obviously going to be some bikini stuff. And that's where it really stands out how much hotter Katie is than Joe and myself, Tawanda, than me. I am self-conscious about that, but I don't think Joe is.
He's fully embraced who he is, and he's championed that Katie accepts that. And I think, if anything, he's going to double down on his unattractiveness during this cruise.
That's possible.
I think he's out there in like a. I wouldn't be surprised. He slips a couple mojitos up in himself, and then he's walking around like Borat.
You think he's wearing Crocs and like a wolf shirt? He's not even caring.
I thought that was the standard. He's wearing a wolf shirt and Crocs. I mean, I think he'll go speedo just to start showing off his bod.
I think you may be right, Eric, because I think there was a point where he was trying to look better because she looked so hot. But now I think maybe it's gone the other way. He's like you say, he's doubling down on being so much less attractive.
If cruises are anything like any other vacation that I've been on, when you go to like a resort or something, there's like a shit ton of weird European dudes that like to wear Speedos that shouldn't wear Speedos. Well, if Joe sees that, that's only going to embolden him to proceed with whatever plans he had.
True, but this is a cruise that docks, it ports out of Baltimore. And that this is the fat cruise. I mean, it's a lot of Dundalkers. There's no Europeans on this fucking cruise. Okay.
we came from Sweden to Baltimore so we could sail this.
Right. We wanted to see where The Wire was filmed, then we wanted to set sail. So let's take a break. We'll come back. Let's find out what your daughters are dressing up for as Halloween. Rob and Josh, we'll be right back.
From Die Laughing Productions, the creative geniuses behind The Last Laugh and The Newly Dead Game, come their latest murder mystery spectacular, the new Killer Karaoke murder mystery.
Sing for your life. Sing for your life. Sing, sing, sing for your life.
There's going to be song, there's going to be dance, there's going to be laughs, and there's definitely going to be a murder. If you've got the chops to not only solve a mystery, but to possibly belt out a tune, you could be selected to come on stage and sing during Sing for Your Life.
It's going to be incredible, and there's going to be a limited number of performances, so don't miss it.
Next performance, November 13th at McGoobie's Joke House in Timonium. For upcoming show dates and more info, please visit DieLaughingProductions.com.
The Rob and Joe Show.
So you have a 5 and a 2-year-old. What are they being as Halloween?
They are, one is being a donut. My oldest is being
her daddy's favorite thing.
Finally, I'll be something daddy loves. that was the wrong thing to say. No, and that was completely her idea. She just said, I'm going to be a donut this year.
What kind of a donut?
Can I be honest with you? I haven't even looked at which is. It's going to be a surprise for me.
She can't be a chocolate donut. You can't have your 5-year-old black glaze face. Can't have that.
Glaze face is very, very racist around. Well, actually, I mean, right. I live in Carroll County.
You get away with it.
So, yeah, she's a donut. And then, I don't know, like my littlest one, she's probably not going to go out tonight, but my wife is probably going to stick some costume on from Jean's past. Yeah, she's too.
Yeah, she doesn't. Does your wife dress up?
Sometimes she'll do a cat face or something. I'm going to get in my full murder mystery gear for the superhero homicide. So I'm going to go out as Mr. Muscle.
So you're going to be wearing your tight orange spandex.
Yeah. Tight orange spandex with the Captain America mask and everything. What's up, Jane? My daughter just walked down. How are you?
I'll probably put on the Ratman outfit because, you know, I got to get some use out of it. Robbie, do you have kids coming over? Do you know?
We haven't been home for Halloween, the first two Halloweens we've lived in this house. The first Halloween, we went out to dinner. The second Halloween, we were in Taiwan. So we have no idea if there's going to be 2 kids or 100 kids.
Well, this is Tawan and I. This is our first year in this house. Eric, is this your first year in your house for Halloween?
Well, we were here. We moved in right last. We've been in the house a year now. So this will be our second Halloween. And okay. It's a very lively neighborhood filled with lots of children. So we kind of wait out at the top so the hooligans don't come up to our house and, bribe them with candy, not to egg.
Yeah, this is our first year in this neighborhood, so I bought good candy because we can't have a bad reputation. So I got all the name brand stuff. I got some different things, some caramel apple Jolly Ranchers to get that little angle in there. Got some Kit Kats, some Snickers, some Milky Ways, some Twix, all kinds of good stuff. I don't know how much to get, but I got a lot. So I'm assuming, I don't know, we have like 120 pieces of candy. That has to be enough, right?
Covering your bases. We bought a big like 250 candy bag because last year we used it all. But see, we get kind of lucky because like we have a shared driveway with a couple other people and we all just kind of sit at the end of this driveway and just stop the kids before they come down. So we kind of pool our candy together. So
now will you go walking the neighborhood? Will you have a drink in tow?
Yeah. I mean, that's that was the MO last year was dad's walking around with beers.
So you're going to be a large man in an orange spandex jumpsuit with a Budweiser and a daughter dressed as a donut.
Yeah, I don't say what's weird about that, but yeah, that's what's going to happen.
Now, speaking of weird, your brother, he's quite a character. He used to go to your open mic, Coco Lane, in beautiful Old Town old Ellicott City.
He's pretty much retired from comedy in the same way that Restivo is retired.
But he would do characters. He would do, what was some of his Vietnam Tom? Was that one?
He's known as Vietnam Tom, Kevin the Emo. He's done, there was another open micer named Michael Friedman, and he used to come out as Bizarro Michael Friedman and go to other open mics that Michael Friedman would do. And he was a really quiet, autistic person, Michael Friedman. Okay. And Jeremy would I'm Michael Friedman! And just like cackle really wild. And there's a couple other ones. Oh, Benny, the amazing Benny is another character he's done as well.
Yeah, he's one of these guys that sort of stays in character. Like, I can't imagine having a real conversation with him. Didn't he scare Justin in 98 Rock at one point?
Justin is legitimately terrified of him still to this day.
What happened?
Well, Jeremy, I get a message at about my Twitter messages and my personal text messages start going off in my pocket while I'm at work saying, hey, is your brother at 98 Rock right now? And then I have direct messages from Justin saying, he's just like, what is your fucking brother doing? And I have no idea what he's done. I'm learning with everybody else, right?
Right.
But apparently what he did was one of the things that Jeremy does and still does, he just did it this weekend, is he has a complete replica costume where he'll paint his face to look exactly like the serial killer John Wayne Gacy, who dressed up as Pogo the Clown. And he'll go to like horror conventions. He's like a rock star at horror conventions. But he decided to just dress as that and go to 98 Rock Studios unannounced. And, get on. And just, he got escorted off the property gently. You know, they just asked him to leave, essentially. Security.
Right.
I got one other message from Justin later that day that said, and this is, you know, this is when JSS had just started. So he's only been on the morning show for like a week or two, right?
Yeah.
He's like, I just got out of the meeting with my program director and I heard the words, never fucking again 20 times. And it was all apparently my fault. But I don't know what Jeremy's going to do ever. So he did a show at McGoobie's once, like the new talent competition as Vietnam Tom. Didn't tell me what he was going to do, except that I had to musical accompany him. He comes into McGoobie's with like two like polio crutches, right? Like the crutches that go up your arms that like people with polio often use. And I've never seen him with these before. And he's completely just walking with them like he's disabled all through the thing. People are clearing their way. When it's Jeremy's time to go, they call him up there, Vietnam Tom. And I'm on stage with my guitar. And Jeremy takes like two steps up the like the walkway to the main stage. And then face plants in front of everybody. And like people in the front row are like, oh my God, like coming up to help him. He's like, I'm fine. And they like help him back to his feet. And he apparently put blood capsules in his mouth. So then he starts coughing up blood in front of everybody in front of the McGoo.
I love it.
And people are eating. The people are not eating anymore in the front row. And he goes on and does his thing. And it's just the weirdest, most awkward thing you've ever seen. And the only person who's laughing hysterically on the Thursday night competition is Justin Jones from the back, who's the only other one other than me who's probably in on the joke of the whole thing. So
it's a weird dynamic when you, Eric, are the guy that takes his balls out in 90% of all group pictures, is the normal one in your family.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, Jeremy's a real special boy.
He has these business cards, and he's given me one, and you just sent a picture that he made with a unicorn and a rainbow, and it says Pogo the Clown, parties, magic tricks, and rape. Who does he hand those cards to?
To anyone. He will hand it to anyone that you can imagine. Real story of my brother with these cards, because he'll hand them out, and it has John Wayne Gacy's original address where all the murders happened.
Okay.
if you're following. But and it has a beautiful unicorn on it. So take you back about 5 years to the birth of my first child, Jade. And it's exciting time, whimsical. And we're in the nursery where you stay there like a day or two, usually with the new, right? And family comes to visit. And it's very lock and key. If you ever go to a hospital, if you go to the nursery thing, there's a whole sign in. There's big locking doors. They put like tags on you and everything. So this nice lady, I come to go get my brother. And there's this nice African-American lady, probably in like her, you know, late 40s, early 50s, somewhere around there. Security guard. just checking us in is very delightful. Jeremy's being just a regular human being, which is always really nice of him. And just as they open the big electronic doors and we're all tagged up, he goes, oh, yeah, you know, if you need anything, here's my business card. He hands her business card. And she, you can hear she's reading it aloud, and we walk through the door. And she's like, magic tricks, parties, and just doors are closing behind us. And rape! And as we enter the nursery of the hospital. Oh, so, and that's my brother. That's him. So he was watching very carefully the whole time. But that's his, and he does this. He'll never like tap you and be like, hey, check out what I'm about to do. He'll just do it and let you experience it. It's pretty fun. And that's what he does with his, I guess, what you want to call stand-up. He'll only do characters, and he'll only do that once. He'll never he'll never work it again. He'll never go someplace else. He'll only think of something new to do, and you'll never see him do that.
Good really for you, Jeremy. We need more Jeremys in this world. We need more rape clown joke people. This is, of course, a big week for me, fellas. This is when the Heart of the City premieres this Sunday, 11:30 p.m. on Comedy Central. My big national TV debut.
Yeah, I saw that it was during Walking Dead, so I guess I'll DVR it.
Well, now it's at 11:30 p.m. I mean, we're going to have a little get-together here at the house because Joe insisted on having something, and I decided I'd rather just control it myself. So, I mean, we have TVs. We'll have the Walking Dead on if you insist on watching.
I have to watch the replay right after this, too.
Okay. Well, you know what? Fuck you. You're not invited. Now, what I had...
Kidding.
I had
I'm excited for you.
Thank you. I had the most intense dream I've ever had last night. I dreamed that I said something in my set. It doesn't make sense that this could really happen. But I said something when we recorded the show. I made fun of something or somebody, which caused them to edit me out of the show completely. Not the roundtable discussion. I'm in that. But then I don't, which is worse. And then they don't air my stand-up. And I get wind of this a couple days before, and I'm just furious. And I'm like, I'm talking to the producers. I'm like begging them, like, guys, look, I've invited people over. This, you can't do this to me. And I remember just feeling just angry and devastated. And then finally they said, oh, we're just kidding. But it went on for like hours. I was begging. They all laughed. And I was like, and then I woke up just angry. I don't know what to feel. So, I mean, I guess I'm freaking out. I mean, I should be excited.
You're probably just having a little stage fright, buddy. They're not going to edit you out.
Well, I know that. It doesn't make any sense. But I mean, this, what dreams don't always make sense. I guess that's just some self-esteem issues. But I'm going to be on TMOS on Tuesday. By the time you guys hear this, you will have already happened, been promoting. I'm going to be on Good Day DC. It's like a local Channel 5 in DC's morning show this Friday morning. I think it's at 9 a.m., 9 or 10, I can't remember. But with Lafayette Wright, one of the other comedians on the show. And I'm trying to get everyone to tweet and post, you know, to, you know, at Comedy Central. Basically, you know, love Rob Mayer, hashtag Heart of the City, and then I want hashtag Mayor of the City to be sort of the hashtag.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Maybe hashtag Rock the Rob, but I like hashtag Mayor of the City, Heart of the City has a nice flow to it. So I'm going to try to be posting that and getting a little tweet campaign. Danny Charnley will be here, one of 65 billion Twitter followers, so he's going to be my social media king for the night.
I promise to... retweet it to my 275 followers. So you can count
on me. Thank you. Because I feel like Twitter, like I don't get a lot of love. I don't tweet enough to get the love. But I thought the other day the Redskins tied. It was a horribly painful game to watch. And the game was in London, England, if you didn't know. And I thought I had a great tweet. And I got like 3 retweets. I said, you know, for London sports fans, this is the first time they've seen a tie since the last 1,000 soccer games they watched. And I'm like, that should be huge. You know, whatever. Almost nothing. Now, Facebook people loved it. But I'm like, come on, people.
I almost like don't like to waste my jokes on Twitter because I don't get enough love back. Like if I put it on Facebook, boom. I get instant gratification. I just
Facebook, you get the love back. Absolutely. Yeah. But I did a show in Frederick, Maryland last night, Sunday night, and someone, a comic before me, it was actually Lafayette Wright, mentioned Or was it? Yeah, it was. That the Redskins tied, or maybe it was Sean Gabbert. It was Sean Gabbert. That the Redskins tied, and people were cheering because they were happy. They're like, yeah, they tied. So that's how low the bar is, I guess, that a tie is something to celebrate.
Yeah, I was watching the Redskins game, and I had in my pool where I bet on games, I'm in a pick 'em league, and I had to pick all the games every week and assign like a point value for like each one I picked correctly. Well, I had 10 points riding on the Bengals, even though I like the Redskins. So I'm watching it and rooting for the Redskins, but I'm like, you know what? If the Redskins lose, then it's still kind of beneficial for me, right? And the worst possible thing happens, it's a tie. There's nothing worse that could have happened as an outcome than that.
It was. The Redskins are my favorite team in any sport, but I rarely enjoy watching them play. I mean, even when they win, most of the game I'm in agony.
Yes.
And then they win, and let's be honest, the last year and a half now, they've done a lot better than they usually do.
And they have made it a pretty frequent case. So really over the last, I feel like, 2-3 seasons of making every game almost complete agony to watch up until the last minute.
So yeah.
They play up to the good teams and get really close, and they play down to the really bad teams and maybe you'll squeak out a victory. It's heartbreaking to watch a lot of the time.
I'd like to think that as, you know, I'm an adult now that these, you know, as a kid, I would be devastated. Now, I think I still get as angry and upset, but I get over it like really soon. Where, I mean, I know for a fact that the Redskins like having a bad season, it would affect me in school. Like I'd get worse grades. I'd come in Monday, I'd be upset, and then I just blow off that day of paying attention, and then I'd just fall behind and say F it.
Well, we were all Chris Restivo, like Chris Restivo's love for the Vikings now as a still an adult. But you grow out of that after like 19 years old. I was the same way, but I've gotten so used to, you know, being the punching bag team that, you know, I just get excited when they finally win a game, right?
Vikings are the best team ever.
Well, you know, in 2 weeks, the Redskins play the Vikings.
Oh, gosh. If there's one game that has become my mini Super Bowl of the year, it's that right now. Because I need to be able to talk to Chris Restivo about them. And the last time the Vikings played the Skins lost. So I gotta have this one.
We need this. We have to do some sort of bet with Restivo.
Total.
I'm sure it'll involve your Bulls.
We beat the Red. I have enjoyed that we did beat the Ravens this year. Because I like to, when like I see a Ravens fan talk shit about when I'm wearing Redskins stuff, I always like to bring up, I'm like, oh, please, if you could talk a little bit more respectfully to Maryland's best team, I would appreciate it.
Touché.
Boom.
All right. So did you watch Walking Dead last night? Can we talk about the Tiger episode?
I did. I talked about Walking Dead.
Robbie, did you watch it?
I've seen it.
I'm predicting that Robbie hated it.
Okay. I listened to Robbie's not a big fan of The Walking Dead show.
That's not true.
Well, it doesn't seem like it sometimes when I listen. Sounds like you're poo-pooing the show when it's still pretty good. And I'm a big comic book reader of, especially The Walking Dead. So I live in both of the universes and I appreciate the show for what it is. But this one is exactly kind of what I expected after a big blockbuster show of The Walking Dead. We're going to get a couple of little palate cleansing episodes until that are going to lead up to the mid-season finale. But we got to meet basically where Tommy Cimbazzo is going to live in the zombie apocalypse, the kingdom, which was really exciting for me. It was very much how the comic books presented the kingdom. It's people riding around in bike pads and pretending that they're knights in shining armor, which was pretty cool. And I like that they immediately gave up. Ezekiel immediately gave up. They're like, yeah, this is pretty much all bullshit, but people seem to like it, which I also like because I'm glad they didn't drag that out for very long.
Right.
My only real big problem with the episode, and listen, Walking Dead is like a big budget show, right? It makes thousands and, you know, I mean, this is $1 million an episode show, I would guess, with all the makeup and equipment and special effect. They have a CGI tiger, right? they couldn't spend the extra 15, 20 bucks to make Ezekiel's wig look like it was real, because it is probably the worst piece of makeup I've ever seen. There's parts where he actually turns around and I can see your real hair. I can see your real hair under the wig right now, like when you turned your back there.
Right.
It's a really bad wig, and I had trouble.
That's fair point. Robbie, I'm guessing you hated it. Am I correct?
No, I liked this episode.
Oh, wow. I'm totally wrong on Robbie.
You know what my problem was with that first episode. This one felt like a regular good episode, and I like that these people are also having to give their shit to Negan also, and they're giving him tainted pigs. This is good stuff.
No, I like that. But my problem was when Carol first meets the king, she's over the top in her acting like it's amazing. And we've seen Carol put on a show and act like Susie Homemaker without being so over the top. So I wish that they had enough faith in the audience, because what they were doing is she was so over the top. The audience was like, okay, we know she thinks it's bullshit.
Telegraphing.
She could have dialed it back and trusted the audience would know that she's still putting on a show for this guy. But since she was so over the top, I can't now give him credit for seeing through it when it was so obvious. Where I wish she'd have just dialed it back and just been more, man, this is, oh my God, this is interesting. This is amazing. As opposed to being, wow, this is so great.
I totally agree with your assessment of that situation.
Yes. I would say that I think they had to dial it up because this, I mean, Walking Dead is it's a nation, it's like a worldwide phenomenon. I mean, it has millions and millions of viewers and millions of really, I mean, people that live out in the country. And I tarp back to one of my buddies, Nick. He's a rugby player. He's a bit of a meathead. He's a rugby coach. And I could hear his voice through this episode in my head while he's watching it. And it's not necessarily my sentiment, but I think it's a sentiment of a lot of people that probably watched that episode watching, what the fuck is this faggoty horse shit in my Walking Dead episode? And I could just imagine.
that's your rugby buddy's voice, not yours.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's a specific. It's the middle America watching this. Like, all right, there's not horses in people doing this. This is fantasy. People that don't like the reference to fantasy in that sense. They've involved themselves in a post-apocalyptic world with guys with baseball bats that'll beat your head in, that this is just too ridiculous. So the overacting on Carol's part is to echo the sentiments of those people watching the show.
Yeah, you may be right. What do you think? Because this show is such a huge phenomenon. When you get a role on this show, I mean, you're making tons of money comic book conventions and Comic Con things and autograph signings. I've seen Herschel, that guy things. I mean, this guy Ezekiel, maybe I don't know how long he's been on the show, but he's going to have a little cottage industry of signing autographs and getting pictures for these whatever, however many episodes he's on for the rest of his life, probably.
I mean, you're thinking about just Walking Dead. I've been to horror movie conventions and stuff like that. Bruce Campbell from the show, from the movie Evil Dead and Army of Darkness and now Evil Dead Show, I waited in a line that was over 4 hours long to meet Bruce Campbell for 2 seconds.
How much was it?
I think it was $35 to meet Bruce Campbell. And this was probably 5 or 6 years.
So there are probably hundreds of people in that line. He probably made 35 times 1,000 people.
Yeah, yeah. Easily. Over two, three days too. Just signing stuff. And he's Bruce Campbell, right? So Daryl probably makes a killing. Even the low-end people on this, you know, they're charging $20 a picture, right? Yeah.
Oh, well, then you're going to get but people like Daryl, the main characters, and Rick, they're going to get all the syndication money. I mean, this is a set for your life show, without question.
Would you be on The Walking Dead, but your character is actually Chris Restivo? So when people are going places, you have to be Chris Restivo at all the conventions and stuff like that. You have to say, fucking Vikings, and then
yes. Now wait a minute, dude, because Tommy Simbazo is known to do a Restivo. Do you want to give your Restivo impression?
Yeah, I mean, it's mostly just like this where you talk real soft, right? It's fucking Hillary and Donald Trump. People can't handle my comedy. Joe's a fucking loser.
I try to just think of a nerdier Crispin Glover whenever I'm trying to do it.
I think, Robbie, this is a good idea. Can we have a Chris Restivo impression contest?
Yes. Restivo versus Restivo. I like it.
Okay, so, well, Tommy Sambazo is obviously in. Eric is in. Who else does a good Restivo?
I think you have to put a blind taste tester in and have Chris Restivo call in, but don't say who it is.
Well, we can easily just ask the questions, because if you say anything gay, you know, he'll be like, what the fuck, man?
So you know, I'm not into that gay shit, man. I don't care. I like the gay people. I do. I just don't like fags. Like, that's how.
Yeah. Definitely.
Speaking of TV this weekend, I want to ask if any of you guys saw the tribute to Bill Murray, the Mark Twain Award.
I didn't. Did you watch it?
I watched it. But Eric, no chance?
No chance.
If you missed it, you have to watch it online. But it was terrific. Jane Curtin was horrible, but Jimmy Kimmel was fantastic. Jimmy Kimmel came out and played himself and Jason Schwartzman. It was very funny.
Jimmy Kimmel is the best late night person.
He's my favorite, too.
Yeah, I've decided now that he is the best, yes.
But not only did Letterman come out and get really emotional, which was interesting, Paul Schaefer did his tribute to Nick Winter, the lounge singer, and Miley Cyrus came out and sang My Way to Bill Murray, and it was fucking great.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Miley's got a good voice. She can sing.
Yeah. I thoroughly enjoyed the show. I mean, they could have tossed out the banjo act and Jane Curtin, but other than that, it was really great.
Did you see Bill Murray do the Take Me Out to the Ball Game, Cubs game, seventh inning stretch?
Yes, they showed that.
I didn't care for it.
Why not?
I didn't like the duck thing, the Daffy the Duck. It's the spitting. I've already claimed that it's he started the curse of the duck over in Ducktober. I try to get that hashtag going, the curse of the of Ducktober over in Ducktober.
I just learned that Bill Murray was not originally supposed to be in Ghostbusters like the other day, and it was supposed to be Jim Belushi instead of him.
Well, I think they made the right call. I was thinking, I think they could redo like almost every show with four people and just star those same four chicks in Ghostbusters. You could redo A-Team. You could just have Leslie Jones be Mr. T. You could have what's her name be Murdoch. Not Kristen Wiig, the other one.
Kate McKinnon.
And then Kristen Wiig will be Face, and then what's her name will be Mr. Hannibal.
And Hannibal. No, I
see that.
I'd watch the mediocrity ensue. Very excited to see. You know,
I just want to recast those four in every movie with starring four guys.
Yeah, like would be another good, like Top Gun, but all them again.
Just okay. So who's Val Kilmer is Kate McKinnon.
Yeah.
And then Kristen Wiig is Maverick.
Yep. And then the other guy from ER is the black chick.
He's Goose.
Yeah.
Okay. And what's the big girl's name again? Melissa McCarthy. Is she's Kelly McGillis.
She's the aircraft carrier. That's a.
She's not Kelly McGillis. She's not the teacher.
I just think it'd be funny to just watch things take off of Melissa McCarthy the whole episode. Like, you're landing on me again. Screams the whole movie.
Okay, I want to do more. Let's think of more movies. More 80s movies with the male cast, dominated cast.
Okay, a Ferris Bueller's Day Off rebooted with her.
Well, Kristen Wiig is Ferris.
Yeah, clearly. Yeah. Who plays Cameron? That's probably the most important role.
Cameron is McKinnon.
Okay. Melissa McCarthy plays the principal.
Yeah, and then Leslie Jones plays Grace, the principal's assistant.
Yeah, that would be good because she'd be real sassy with her.
Yes.
You know? Real sassy back and forth.
All right. What about Back to the Future? Yeah, is McKinnon Marty McFly?
Yes.
Is Kristen Wiig?
I think Kristen Wiig. We do Wiig.
Okay.
McKinnon as Doc Brown.
Yes. Yes.
Melissa McCarthy's Biff.
And Leslie Jones is
George McFly.
Yes, the mom. Yeah, she plays the mom. Or George McFly.
I'm telling you, if they made all these movies, if they just said, fuck you, we're doing this with these four, every movie, we're just going to, every movie you love, we're going to do it with these four. I would, at that point, I'd be like, yes.
Oh, you know, it would be a great one is, what's the Roadhouse, but with all those,
Okay. All right. So who's Swayze?
Kristen Wiig is Patrick Swayze.
Okay. And then who's the Dude Abides guy? What's his name?
Oh yeah. The older gentleman. Yeah. That's, I guess you got to go. I want that to be Melissa McCarthy, to be like the badass fighter, like the old grizzled vet that goes in house and beats people up.
Now, who plays the bad guy, the heavy? What's his name? Ben Gazzara.
That's going to be Leslie Jones is the bad guy. And then her right hand man is McKinnon.
It sounds perfect.
All right, what about Dirty Dancing?
Oh, no, you don't put baby in color. Okay. There's some things you don't touch, okay? Dirty Dancing. I draw a line there.
Fair enough. Okay, this is good. All right. Feel free to tweet out your own movie suggestions with the fabulous female four. That's what we're going to call it.
Start making the memes. Like, what if we redid fucking, what's the one where the commies invade the U.S.?
Red Dawn.
Red Dawn,
yeah. All female cast. We'll just start making the memes. Like, why can't they make Red Dawn with these four? And
we'll do Rocky. We've got Melissa McCarthy as Rocky Balboa. Leslie Jones as Apollo Creed. And Paulie is a wig, or is Kristen McKinnon and Natalia Shire is, you know, Adrian is wig.
Oh, but what about Mickey?
Yeah,
you gotta have
Burgess Meredith.
Meredith. Oh, that's Mickey reprising the role.
Oh, yeah, right. That's got to be
Betty White, right, Brian? Betty White still alive?
That'll be Chris Hemsworth, just like in Ghostbusters, they brought him in. This will be a short show. We're gonna wrap it up here. Tweet us at Rob and Joe Show and like us on Facebook. You know the drill. Check me out on the Tuesdays TMOS. I'll be sitting in with the guys. I'm going to record some promos without Joe. How about that? And of course, this Sunday night, set your DVRs. It's also available on the Comedy Central website and app. Heart of the City premieres 11:30 p.m. Sunday night, November 6th. Myself, Kevin Hart. We're blowing up people. I can leave Joe behind. Please tweet at it. Hashtag Heart of the City. Hashtag Mayor of the City. At County Central. At Rob Mayer. At Kevin Hart. For real, whatever it is. Thank you, Eric, for sitting in. Tell us how we can find you, my friend.
You can pretty much find it all at ericcomedy.com. Eric spelled with a K. E-R-I-K. Comedy with a C. Go there. You can check out all the fun stuff I do, shows I'm on. You see my cool credits, like opening up for Rob Mayer like 30 times. You can see Quality Time, which is another wonderful podcast with me and my psychopath brother that we talked about earlier in the show. And we talk about Walking Dead, horror movies, and midgets. You guys really like it. It was so much weirder than anything that you heard.
I can imagine. And check us both out for Sing for Your Life, returning to McGoobie's Joke House Sunday, November 13th, 6 p.m. right there outside of Baltimore. No Ravens game that day. That's a problem.
So many murder mysteries coming up. You can catch just everywhere. Yes. And the Mary murder mystery. This last Sing for Your Life is the last one you can catch this year, right? We're not doing Sing for Your Life anymore. It's all Mary murder mystery.
That's December. Well, starting November 30th, actually. Oh, Scott Burke.
Don't fuck this up, Robin Joe listeners. Get out this goddamn McGoobie show, okay?
Yes, November 13th. And then all December, DieLaughingProductions.com. Lots of A Merry Murder Mystery, starring, of course, myself, Justin Slagle, and Eric Woodworth. Thank you, Eric. Thank you, Robbie. Happy Halloween, guys. We'll see you next week.
Peace.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.